As you are able for the gospel reading from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. Up until this point in Mark's Gospel, Jesus has been traveling around the countryside of Galilee, healing mostly Jewish people from illness and demon possession. Crowds have been following him as he's traveled around. And now we see Jesus traveling outside of his home region. He travels to the region of Tyre, which is far north of Galilee. Now, Tyre is mostly a Gentile region, which is another way of saying non-Jewish. So Jesus crosses the boundary from Jewish territory into Gentile territory. He crosses a physical regional boundary, but also a religious one. In the Jewish religion, Gentiles are considered unclean and outside of the covenant that God has made with the people of Israel. Jesus crosses this boundary into the unclean region. Now, we get the idea here that he comes not to continue his work of preaching and healing, but to rest. He comes here to get away from the crowds. So he goes into a house in Tyre, trying to duck under the radar so that no one notices him. But someone does notice him. A woman notices him. We are told that she is a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician descent. So she is a non-Jewish woman who is both Syrian and Phoenician. Now, these two countries do not have a peaceful history with Israel. So this woman, because of the origin of her birth, is an outsider to the Jewish faith and tradition, with some cultural, historical bad blood between her ancestors and the Jewish people. There is a clear boundary here between her and the covenant that God has made with the Jews. And now she comes into the house where Jesus is staying. She crosses many boundaries in approaching this Jewish man named Jesus. She crosses the gender boundary. Women at this time did not approach men publicly, so she comes to Jesus without a man with her. She crosses the ethnic boundary between the people of Tyre and the people of Israel. She crosses the religious boundary between the Gentiles and the Jews. I imagine Jesus sitting there, reclining on a mat in the house, probably with his disciples in the next room. And as he's reclining there, this woman comes into the house. This woman, who was separated from Jesus by all these boundaries, enters the house and takes him by surprise. She comes straight up to him, bows down, and asks him to heal her daughter. Now, I want to imagine that Jesus immediately heals her, like he's done so many other people before this. I want to imagine that he immediately heals her, because this is the Jesus who, right before he comes to Tyre, encounters the scribes and Pharisees and turns their boundaries of purity and impurity, clean and unclean, upside down. He has already crossed the boundary into unclean territory in Tyre, so surely he is going to follow through with this expanded view of boundaries and heal this woman's daughter. But Jesus does not respond in the way that we expect him to. Instead of immediately healing her daughter, Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." These are harsh words coming from Jesus. He's not calling her a sweet little pup. He's basically referring to her and her people as dogs. This is such a difficult picture of Jesus for us to hold. Usually, Jesus is the compassionate hero who saves people from their oppressive illnesses. But here, he definitely does not seem like a hero. As we hear his response, questions rise within us. How can he say this to her? Why does he respond to her in this way? Some people say that Jesus responds with this harsh statement in order to test her. He's trying to test her to see if her faith and resolve are strong enough to withhold, to withstand a denial. I don't think that's what's going on here. I don't think that Jesus responds in this way in order to test her to see if she will rise above it and keep going. I think there are a couple of things going on here. I think Jesus was very aware of the bitterness between the Jews and the people of Tyre. At this time, Tyre is known for its mistreatment and violence toward Jews. They often ostracize Jews in business and trade. So by calling them out as dogs, Jesus could be referring to their mistreatment of the Jews. It doesn't lessen the harshness of his response, but it does give us some insight into these words. I also think that Jesus is focused on his mission to the Jews. His priority at this point is to serve his own people. And therefore, he says that the children, referring to the children of Israel, should be fed first. Now, there is implication here that the Gentiles will be eventually fed, but that the children of Israel will be fed first. So his response illustrates his priority at this point of serving the Jews. He has a determined focus and has placed a clear boundary on his mission. But because of this narrow focus, he is limiting the scope of his mission, just as the scribes and Pharisees had done in the previous story. Now, as we hear this response of Jesus, it's easy for us to be appalled and to think that we would definitely respond differently to this woman. But we often share in his response. We can let our narrow focus limit what it looks like to live out God's love. We can become so focused on serving our own people that we fail to hear from those who are different from us, those who are not our own. We see this a lot in churches where we have become so focused on serving those within our walls that we neglect to serve those outside of our walls. We continue to put all of our energy into maintaining church as usual, doing church as we've always done it, to those already inside our walls. determined to keep the ministries going that only serve folks who are already in our churches while neglecting to put any energy into new ministries that reach out to folks who are not within our walls and who may never enter into our walls, into inside our walls. In so doing, we have closed ourselves off to the new ways that God wants to move in and through us and are limiting the scope of God's mission. We also see this boundary keeping in churches who narrowly define God's mission to a certain group of people while subjugating other people groups. In this boundary keeping mindset, people must fit into a certain category to be deemed worthy of fitting in within the scope of the church's love. As long as people fit into certain categories, which often means if people are white, middle class, heterosexual, legal American citizens, submissive if they're women, married, then the church will accept them into their fold of grace and love. However, if people do not fit into these categories, then the chances are slim for the church to spend any time with these folks, unless it is to convert them to the right way of living. This is the prevalent image of the Protestant church in America today. A church who has placed clear boundaries and priorities about who is in and who is out of the scope of God's love. As we in the church continue to adhere to these set boundaries in living out God's mission, we see in our text for today that when we encounter the other who is different from us, there is possibility for us to be stretched to envision God's love in new ways. We see this in Jesus himself. He has a set focus and a clear boundary in his mission. When he responds to the woman in this harsh manner, the woman persists. She responds, "Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In this response, she accepts Jesus' priority of serving the children of Israel first, but she is not satisfied with it. She refuses to accept this limited view of God's mission. She pushes back on Jesus' boundary-keeping mindset, which is highly unexpected at this time for a woman to argue with a man. But she pushes back and argues that even the Gentiles are part of God's household. They are in the house waiting for the children of Israel to feed them. Her faith and her persistence changes him. When Jesus hears her response, he changes his mind and heals her daughter. This encounter with another person who was deemed an outsider, changes Jesus. She evokes a wider vision of God's mission to include the Gentiles now, not later. Jesus catches hold of this vision and it changes him. He is stretched to expand his priorities and grow in his understanding of God's mission, which he is to carry out in the world. Because of his encounter with this woman, the very direction of his ministry changes. After his encounter with her, he travels to Sidon in order to go to the Sea of Galilee. Now, Sidon is north of Tyre, and the Sea of Galilee is south of Tyre. So he travels north in order to go south. He travels out of his way farther into Gentile territory to heal people. And we are told that he heals a man who has been deaf and mute. And then he travels to the Decapolis, which is back south toward the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis is 10 cities. 10 cities that were Gentile cities. So after his encounter with this woman, the direction of his ministry changed, and it is widened to include the Gentiles in his mission. His mission was widened by his encounter with a non-Jewish woman of Syro-Phoenician origin. Just as Jesus was stretched and changed by the presence of someone who was vastly different from him, we too receive the challenge to be open to being changed by the presence of another. We are challenged to spend time with people who come from different economic backgrounds than us, so that we can have a wider view of what life looks like through their eyes. We are challenged to listen to the experience of people of color, so that our eyes are open to their struggle for dignity and equality. We are challenged to listen to the stories of women who have been objectified, marginalized, and oppressed, to learn about the ways that patriarchy can harm us. We are challenged to listen to the people of the LGBTQ community, to open our eyes and ears to their longings to be accepted, valued, and loved as children of God. We are challenged to open ourselves up to the stories and experiences of those who are different from us. Because when we do, the Spirit has the opportunity to grow us and stretch us, to envision God's mission of love in new ways, and to move us in new directions. I met her on my way home a few weeks ago. I was stopped at a red light at the end of the exit ramp, and there are always people standing there on the corner asking for money. I usually keep a few emergency bags in my car, which are Ziploc bags full of snacks and things like Band-Aids to hand out to people as I pass them by on the streets. And I usually will just put the window down, hand them out a few things, and then be on my way. But this day, I saw an African-American woman standing on the corner, and she stood out to me because usually there are white men standing there. And on her sign that she was holding at the top, it read, "Single Mother." So as I was stopped, I was trying to reach the emergency bag and the floorboard of the passenger seat and just couldn't reach it. And so I couldn't get to it in time, and the light turned green. And usually if that happens, I just go on my way and get the bag ready for the next time so that I can be ready to give it out to the next person that I meet. But this time, I was led to talk to her. So I pulled over at the next parking lot that I could find, and I walked back to the corner to her. And I introduced myself to her, and she introduced herself to me. And I had one bag of beef jerky left in my emergency bag, so I asked her if she was hungry, and she said, "Yes, I'm starving." So I gave her the beef jerky, and I asked her if she would like for me to go to the nearby Sonic to get her a meal to eat, and she said yes. But before I left to go to Sonic, we had a conversation, and she shared her story with me. She told me that she is a recovering addict, that she's been in recovery for a little over a year, that she has 5 children who stay with her mother and her sister. She can't stay with her mother because her mother is addicted to prescription pills, so it's not safe for her to stay there and be tempted to use again. But she knows that her children are safe with her mother, so she sleeps in her car. She has a job, but it hasn't paid enough money yet for her to get permanent housing. So she begs on the streets on her days off to get a few dollars to get some food, and if she gets enough dollars, she gets a cheap hotel room for the night. She'd just gotten a second job when I talked to her, but she hadn't started it yet. So the hope was when she got her second job, she would get enough money to get permanent housing for her and her children. We ended our conversation, and I told her I would be back with Sonic. So I pulled into Sonic, which was close by, and as I pulled in, I see her pulling in next to me, and in the car was the white gentleman who was asking for money at the corner next to her. And I asked her what happened, and she said that someone passing by had called the cops on them, and they had to leave. And she said, really, they called the cops on her because she's black. She said that it happens to her a lot more than the white people who are begging on the streets. And as I was talking to her, I looked in her back seat, and I saw her pillow in her blankets, that would be her bed for the night. And I was moved by her persistence to stay sober, Her determination to do whatever it takes to provide a safe environment for herself and for her children, even if it means begging on the streets, sleeping in her car, and facing blatant discrimination. I bought her a meal and offered the same to the man in the car. He declined. He was eating the bag of beef jerky that I'd given her and then she in turn had given to him. So I gave her the meal and she asked me if she could give me a hug. So we stood there hugging in the Sonic parking lot for several minutes. And when she let go, she said to me with a smile on her face, "God bless you." We then went our separate ways, but I have been forever changed by her presence. It changed the way I view people on the streets. It changed the way I pray and who I pray for. I now have two names of people I know on the streets who I pray for. It further opened my eyes to the struggles that people of color face, especially single mothers, and to the struggles that recovering addicts face. It inspired me. Her persistence and determination inspired me. Boundaries were crossed that day, and I am forever changed by the presence of another. God invites us to be open to learning and growing in the presence of another, to have our set boundaries and priorities challenged. May we be open to the moving of God's Spirit to stretch us. May our eyes and ears be opened to envision a wider scope of God's mission of love. And may we move in new directions to live out that love. Amen.